We need to talk about the clipboard. You know the one I mean. It's hanging on a nail near the loading dock of a manufacturing plant right now. It probably has a ballpoint pen attached to it with a piece of old twine. And on that clipboard is a piece of paper that arguably controls the entire destiny of a million-dollar business. Today, we are diving into a world that is, on the one hand, incredibly high-tech. We're talking chemical engineering, organic compounds, advanced nutrition, and yet operationally, it's often just stuck in 1995.
It is the great paradox of the modern SMB manufacturer, isn't it? You walk
Yeah.
into these facilities, I mean, whether they are making artisanal hot sauces, organic cosmetics, or, cutting-edge nootropic supplements, and the product itself is genius. The branding is slick, the Instagram is popping, but when you walk through those double doors into the back office, it's a completely different story.
It's a crime scene of data. I was going through the source material for this deep dive, which focuses on these silent profit tillers for small and mid-sized manufacturers, and I kept having this visceral reaction. I'm just picturing a founder. Let's call him Dave. Dave is a brilliant formulator. He knows exactly how to emulsify a serum so it feels like silk on your skin. But right now, Dave is absolutely drowning in spreadsheets. He is terrified that an FDA auditor is going to knock on the door unannounced. And he has this sneaking suspicion that he's losing money on every single bottle he sells, but he just can't prove it.
And that anxiety, that specific feeling, is really the mission of today's deep dive. We
Yeah.
aren't just looking at, common mistakes.
Hmm.
We are looking at existential threats. We have a whole stack of industry reports here, some really harrowing case studies on recall disasters, and a lot of data on operational efficiency. We're going to break down three specific compoundable errors that can destroy these businesses from the inside out.
And maybe we should clarify who you are in this conversation we're having. If you're listening to this and you run, I don't know, a software company, this might just be an interesting peek at how the other half lives. But if you are a formulator, if you're a startup founder in the CPG space, or an ops manager who wakes up in a cold sweat thinking about inventory counts, this is your intervention.
Precisely. We're going to look at what we're calling the spreadsheet trap, which I know sounds boring, but it's actually a financial black hole. Then we're going to play a little round of FDA audit roulette, which is a game you absolutely want to lose, or maybe just stop playing altogether. And finally, we're going to talk about flying blind on profitability.
And eventually, we are going to look at a way out of all this. We found some really compelling information on a platform called Batch Buddy, which seems to be positioning itself as the sort of Goldilocks solution. But before we get to the cure, we really have to understand the disease. So let's start with mistake number one, the spreadsheet trap.
This is the default. It's the most common starting point. And, I get it. You start a business, you have three products, maybe five. You open Excel or Google Sheets. It's free, it's flexible, you already know how to use it. You make a tab for recipes, a tab for inventory, a tab for suppliers. It feels lean, it feels scrappy.
It feels smart. You're thinking, I'm not wasting money on some big, clunky enterprise software. I'm agile. But reading through these case studies, there's this specific term that kept coming up over and over, the shadow ERP. It sounds like something out of a spy novel, but it's really just a description of a fractured business.
It's the perfect description. An ERP, an enterprise resource planning system, is supposed to be the central brain of your company. It connects every single department. A shadow ERP is what happens when you have a brain that's been, let's say, chopped into five pieces and put in different rooms.
Right.
You've got the formulation brain living on the head chemist's laptop. You've got the inventory brain on the warehouse manager's dusty desktop. And you've got the money brain in QuickBooks with the CFO or the bookkeeper.
And none of these brains are telepathic. They don't talk to each other at all.
They don't talk. Let's just trace a scenario that was alluded to in the research because I think it perfectly illustrates the horror of this. So let's say it's a Tuesday. Marketing comes in and says they want to update the Super Glow Serum. They want to change the preservative system because paraben-free is trending.
Okay, that's a standard pivot. The clean beauty trend happens all the time.
Right. So the chemist, let's call her Sarah, she goes into her Excel file, probably named something like formulations final V3 Sarah's edit.xlsx, and she updates the recipe. She removes the old preservative, adds the new one, adjusts the percentages. She saves it on her hard drive. Maybe she even emails it to the production manager.
But the production manager is out sick that day, or the email goes to his spam folder, or, and this happens constantly, he sees the email on his phone, thinks, okay, I'll print that later, and then completely forgets.
Exactly. So fast forward 2 weeks, it's production day. The floor team goes to the shared drive, or worse, that clipboard, to print out the standard operating procedure. But which version is in the shared drive?
The old one, formulations, a final V2.xlsx.
So now you have a production run of, say, 5,000 units being made with the old paraben-based formula. Meanwhile, marketing is already running Instagram ads screaming, "Now paraben-free." You ship it to your customers. They read the label on the bottle, which might even be the new label because the label file was updated separately by a graphic designer. But the chemistry inside is completely wrong.
That is an absolute nightmare. Best case, you have a mislabeled product and you have to deal with angry customers. Worst case, you get sued for false advertising or, God forbid, cause a widespread allergic reaction.
And that is just one small example of what's called the fragmentation tax.
Right. I wanted to dig into that term, the fragmentation tax. The research we looked at mentions a terrifying statistic. Manual processes and these disconnected data silos leak an average of 6% of top-line revenue annually.
Let's just pause on that number for a second, 6%.
If you are doing $5 million a year in revenue, which is a healthy, successful, small manufacturer, that is $300,000. That's not pocket change. That is a house. That's three new senior employees. Where is that money actually going? Is it just waste?
It's rarely outright theft. Theft is, believe it or not, easier to spot. This is entropy. This is death by a thousand cuts. It's the worker who hand types a measurement into a spreadsheet and accidentally hits the zero key one too many times. So now you've ordered 100 kilograms of citric acid instead of 10. Now you have 90 kilograms of expensive raw material sitting in your warehouse, slowly expiring. That's just cash sitting on a pallet rotting away.
And the research also mentioned that human error, just like that, is responsible for nearly 25% of all factory defects, a quarter of them.
It's staggering. And it leads to another problem, what you could call the lag. This part really struck me. The idea that your financial reality is always like 3 months behind your physical reality.
Explain that. That's the costing spreadsheet problem, right?
Exactly. Let's say you manufacture cosmetics and you buy lavender oil. In January, it was $100 a liter. You built your whole pricing model based on that cost. You're selling your fancy serum for $30, and you've calculated it costs you $10 to make. Great margins, you're happy.
But then a bad crop happens in France. There's a drought. Suddenly, lavender oil spikes to $140 a liter in March.
Your supplier emails you. You pay the new, higher invoice because you have to. But do you remember to go back and update that master costing spreadsheet that drives all your wholesale quotes? Probably not. You're busy shipping boxes and putting out fires. So for the next 6 months, you are quoting new retailers based on January's costs while you're physically producing with March's prices. You're literally paying your customers to take your product, and you won't even know it until your accountant does the P&L at the end of the year and asks, "Hey, where did all the profit go?"
It's like driving a car where the speedometer only updates every 100 miles. You think you're doing 55, but you're actually doing 90, and you're about to fly off a cliff. Now, I want to get a little technical for a minute, because there's a track within the track here. Some companies realize spreadsheets are bad, so they buy software. But they buy the wrong kind of software.
Ah, yes. The generic ERP trap.
Right. They go out and buy something like Odoo or Katana or Fishbowl. And those are great tools. I've used them for e-commerce fulfillment. They're powerful. But the research highlights this fundamental disconnect. The difference between a bill of materials and a recipe.
I call this the table versus soup problem. The easiest way to think about it. Most generic inventory tools are built for what's called discrete manufacturing. Think of making a wooden table. You have a bond, a bill of materials. It's a simple list. Four legs, one tabletop, 16 screws.
It's all integers. It's rigid. 4 + 1 + 16 = 1 table. Simple assembly.
Exactly. If you only have three legs, you cannot make a table. You can't make 0.75 of a table. But in process manufacturing, which is what supplements, food, and cosmetics all are, you are not assembling. You are cooking. You are doing chemistry. You have a recipe.
And a recipe is fluid, literally and figuratively.
Right. A generic tool just breaks when you give it instructions like mix until pH reaches 4.5 or adjust water content based on the ambient humidity today. If you try to force a complex chemical formulation into a rigid bomb structure, the system just can't handle it. It fails.
Can you give me a concrete example of where that math actually breaks down in practice?
Sure. Let's talk about overage or process loss. In a table factory, you don't plan to throw away 5% of your wood.
Mm-hmm.
But in a factory making lotion, you always lose product. It sticks to the sides of the mixing vat. It gets stuck in the hoses when you're filling the bottles. A generic bomb system sees you used 105 liters of ingredients to produce only 100 liters of finished lotion, and it thinks error, variance, theft. It flags a problem.
So you end up spending hours investigating a theft that is really just, well, physics.
Exactly. And eventually the production team gets so frustrated with the constant errors and false alarms that they just stop using the expensive new software and they go right back to the clipboard and the spreadsheet, and the whole vicious cycle just restarts.
So the fix, at least conceptually, is having a single source of truth, a system that understands chemistry, not just assembly.
It's about moving from what we call a system of record, which just looks backward at what happened, to a system of engagement, which happens in real time. When you receive that expensive new batch of lavender oil, the system should instantly update the cost of every single formula that uses it. When you run a batch, it should deduct the inventory instantly, and it should account for that expected process loss without flagging it as an error.
It sounds so basic when you say it like that, yet that 6% fragmentation tax proves that most small manufacturers just aren't doing it. Okay, let's move on to mistake number two. If the first mistake is slowly costing you money, this can cost you the entire business overnight. FDA audit roulette.
This is the scary one. And honestly, the roulette metaphor is perfect because that's what so many manufacturers are doing. They're gambling every single day.
I want to role play this for a second because I think we need to feel the panic to really understand the solution. So I'll be the FDA inspector. I'm wearing a badge. I've got my own clipboard, and I did not make an appointment. I walk into your facility. I go over to a pallet of finished protein powder, a lot number 12345. I look at you and I say, I want to see the full traceability chain for the whey protein isolate used in this specific batch. Show me the COA, the certificate of analysis from your supplier, and show me every other product you made using the same barrel of whey. Go.
In a typical spreadsheet-based company, this is the moment your heart just stops, your stomach drops. You probably stammer something, and then you run to a filing cabinet in the back office. You're looking for a binder labeled Raw Materials 2024. You're frantically flipping through paper pages. Your hands are shaking. You find a receipt for whey, but does the lot number on the paper match the one on the barrel? You're not sure. Now you have to go find the production log, which is a physical notebook that the floor manager keeps in his locker.
And I'm just standing there, tapping my foot. The clock is ticking very loudly.
And while you're scrambling, you realize something truly terrifying. You probably used that same barrel of whey in five different production runs over 2 weeks. But because you don't have a digital link, you have to manually cross-reference dates. You're thinking, okay, the whey arrived on the 1st, we ran production on the 3rd, the 5th, and the 9th. Did we use this barrel of whey or the old stuff? You are literally just guessing.
And the FDA does not like guessing.
They absolutely hate it. The regulations, specifically 21 CFR Part 111 for supplements and Part 11 for electronic records, essentially say if you can't prove it, it didn't happen. Or worse, if you can't prove it's safe, they assume it's contaminated.
So if I can't definitively prove that the potentially bad whey didn't go into those other four batches,
You have to recall everything.
everything, not just the batch I pointed at.
Everything. The scope of recall expands to fill the void of your data. If your data is precise, maybe you recall 500 bottles. If your data is a disorganized mess, you have to recall 50,000 bottles.
Let's talk about the cost of that for a second. We aren't talking about just giving customers a refund.
Oh no, not even close. We are talking about hiring a firm to manage the recall, paying retailers to pull your product from their shelves, paying for reverse shipping, paying for the destruction of the product, paying your legal fees, paying a PR crisis firm to manage the reputational damage. The data says the average recall costs a small business between $500,000 and $5 million. Some go as high as $10 million. For most SMBs, that is an extinction-level event. You just close the doors for good.
There's a specific technical standard here that seems to be the real hurdle for people: immutable audit trails. This is a core part of 21 CFR Part 11. Why is immutable the magic word?
Immutable simply means unchangeable. The FDA knows that an Excel spreadsheet is completely editable. You can open a file from last year, change a 5 to a 6, hit save, and no one will ever know it was changed. There is no history. There's no proof.
So a spreadsheet is basically inadmissible as evidence in the court of the FDA.
Precisely. It's hearsay. An immutable audit trail, which is what a proper system creates, is like a digital block of stone. If John Doe logs in with his unique password and records a weight of 50 kilograms at 2:01 p.m., that record is carved in. If he realizes he made a mistake and changes it to 55 kilograms at 2:01 p.m., the system doesn't erase the old record. It keeps both records. It shows the error and the correction with timestamps and user attribution. It tells a story that cannot be forged.
Okay, so let's replay the audit scenario. Let's say I'm using a system like Batch Buddy, a proper workflow. I'm the inspector again. Show me the records for lot 12345.
You don't run to a filing cabinet. You calmly walk over to a computer terminal. You type in lot, hashtag 12345. You click a button that says trace. Heh. And in less than 30 seconds, the screen populates a full tree diagram. It shows the exact barrel of whey the supplier it came from, the digital PDF of the COA attached right there. It shows who received it, who weighed it, who mixed it, and it shows every single other finished good that used that same barrel. You can print it out or email it directly to me, the inspector.
And the inspector says, thank you, looks compliant, and leaves to go bother someone else.
That is the difference. It turns a potential business-ending crisis into a minor two-minute administrative task. And the key, the absolute key, is that this data capture has to happen during the work. It's not something you go back and fill in on a Friday afternoon.
Right. It has to be the receiving clerk scanning the barcode on the pallet when the truck arrives. It has to be the mixer on the floor electronically signing off on the tablet when he dumps the bag into the vat.
It's compliance by design. The system literally will not let you move to the next step in the production process until you've recorded the required data. It forces you to be safe.
That brings us to mistake number three. And this one is really insidious because you can be fully compliant, you can have beautiful spreadsheets, and you can still be running your business straight into the ground, flying blind on profitability.
This is where we see what I call the illusion of margin. Most founders, especially in the early days, they calculate their margin on a napkin. It's like, okay, I sell this for $20, the bottle costs $1, the powder inside costs $4, so I make $15. Simple.
Simple math. Why is it dead wrong?
Because it ignores the massive complexity of reality. Let's go back to the math of inventory costing. We mentioned the price fluctuation of ingredients, but how do you actually account for that on your books?
I assume most people just use average cost. You know, I bought some at $10 and some at $20. I just tell myself it costs $15. It seems fair.
It seems fair, and it's better than nothing, but it's still inaccurate. The gold standard and what a real system forces you to do is FIFO. First in, first out.
Okay, let's walk through the math of why FIFO actually matters in the real world.
Okay, imagine you have a big bucket of vitamin C powder. You bought it in January for $40 a kilogram. You still have 10 kilograms of it left. Then in March, you buy 50 kilograms more. But now, because of inflation or supply chain issues, it's $48 a kilogram.
Okay, so I have a mixed inventory with two different price points.
Exactly. Now, you start a new production run that requires 15 kilograms of vitamin C. Physically, you must use the old stuff first because it has an earlier expiration date.
Mm-hmm.
So your team takes the 10 kilograms from January and then 5 kilograms from the newer March batch.
So my actual cost isn't $40 and it isn't $48.
Your true cost for this specific batch of product is 10 kilograms times $40 plus 5 kilograms times $48. It's a blended weighted cost based on actual physical consumption. If you don't track your costs this way, your margin analysis is basically fiction. You might think a batch is highly profitable when it's not, or vice versa, which completely messes up your sales strategy.
And then there's the science gap in scaling. We touched on yield loss, but I want to talk about potency. This was a fascinating detail in the research that I think a lot of outsiders would completely miss.
Oh, the potency adjustment is absolutely critical, especially if you're working with botanicals, extracts, or active pharmaceutical ingredients.
Explain the math here for us, because it's not just 1 + 1 = 2.
Right. Let's say you're making a caffeine pill. Your label claim says you need 200 milligrams of caffeine in every capsule. You buy a big drum of caffeine anhydrous powder. But the certificate of analysis for this new barrel says it's only 95% potent. The other 5% is just inert, harmless material.
So if I just weigh out 200 milligrams of that powder,
your pill will only contain 190 milligrams of actual caffeine. You are underdosing. You are selling a defective, mislabeled product.
So I need to add more of the powder to get the same kick, to meet my label claim.
Exactly. The scientific formula is adjusted quantity base quantity potency factor.
Yeah.
So in this case, it's 200 milligrams 0.95. You actually need to weigh out 210.5 milligrams of the powder to deliver a true 200 milligram dose of caffeine.
And trying to do that math manually on the fly for every single ingredient in a 20 ingredient formula.
It's basically impossible. Well, not impossible, but the risk of human error is practically 100%. A proper manufacturing system automates this. You just enter the potency from the COA when the ingredient arrives, and the system automatically recalculates all the required weights for every batch. It will just say, hey, for this batch, add 500 grams extra to hit the target.
And if you don't do that,
you either fail your finished product testing, which means you have to throw the entire expensive batch away, or you sell it and a consumer watchdog group tests it and sues you for not meeting your label claim.
There is one more blind spot in profitability that we have to talk about. Labor and overhead.
The great hidden costs. I've seen this so many times. A company honestly thinks their cost of goods sold is just the raw ingredients in the packaging.
The stuff.
The stuff doesn't mix itself. It took 3 of your technicians 4 hours to run that batch. It took 2 more hours to clean the machine afterwards. All while you were paying for the electricity to run the mixer, the rent on the building, your insurance, and the depreciation of that expensive piece of machinery.
And if you aren't allocating those hours and those costs to that specific batch, then who pays for them?
The business just pays for them out of net profit at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But you end up with completely distorted data. You might have one product that looks like it has a 60% margin based purely on ingredients, but because it's so labor intensive, maybe it's hard to mix, or the bottles are tricky to label, the true margin is actually only 10%. Meanwhile, a different, less glamorous product with cheaper ingredients might actually be way more profitable because it just flies through the production line in an hour.
So without tracking labor per batch, you might be pushing your sales team to promote the very product that is secretly bleeding you dry.
Precisely. You're actively scaling your losses.
Okay, we've painted a pretty terrifying picture here. The spreadsheet trap is leaking cash. The audit roulette is risking a total shutdown. And the profitability blind spots mean you're flying a plane without a fuel gauge.
It does sound grim. But the good news, the really good news, is that this is a solved problem. The industry has solutions for this.
Let's talk about the solution that we're highlighting today, Batch Buddy. Now, I want to be critical here for a moment. Every software company out there claims they are the magic bullet. What makes this one different from just, you know, going out and buying SAP or Oracle?
It really comes down to a single word, fit. In the software world, you usually see two extremes. On one end, you have the point solutions. These are tools like Genesis R&D.
And it's purely for formulation and nutrition facts, right?
Yes, it's a lab tool. It's fantastic at calculating calories, vitamins, and creating a nutrition label.
Mm.
But it has no idea that you have a warehouse. It doesn't know about lot numbers or shipping. It's an island.
And on the other extreme?
The enterprise monoliths. Your SAP, your NetSuite, your Microsoft Dynamics. These are incredible, powerful systems. They can run multinational corporations. But for an SMB manufacturer, they are absolutely crushing.
Crushing in terms of cost.
Cost, yes, but also complexity.
Hmm.
We are talking six-figure implementation fees, fleets of consultants basically living in your office for 6 to 12 months. And the worst part is they're often generic at their core. You still have to pay extra for all the customization to make them handle that recipe versus bomb issue we talked about earlier.
So Batch Buddy is trying to be the Goldilocks solution, not too small, not too big.
That's exactly the claim. It's a hybrid PLM that's product lifecycle management and ERP. It's built from the ground up specifically for process manufacturing. It just assumes you are mixing fluids and powders. It assumes you need COAs and lot tracking. You don't have to customize it to make it understand chemistry. It speaks chemistry natively.
Let's look at some of its features through the lens of the three big problems we just discussed. So how does it handle the spreadsheet chaos?
It unifies the entire workflow. They call it lab-to-shelf integration. When you update a formula in the R&D module, that data instantly and automatically flows to the production module.
Yeah.
There's no version control issue because there's only one version, the live one.
And the shadow ERP problem.
It's gone. Inventory, purchasing, and manufacturing all live in the same database. And crucially, it integrates with the outside world. It can push financial data directly to QuickBooks so your accountant is happy, and it can push finished product data and inventory levels to Shopify so your e-commerce manager is happy.
I saw a feature in the research called two-tier inventory. I thought this was a really clever piece of engineering. Can you explain why a manufacturer would care so much about that?
Oh, this is a huge aha moment for any contract manufacturer or CM. Let's say you're making a new energy drink for a big celebrity brand. That brand is your client. You want to give them a login to your system so they can see, oh, great, I have 5,000 cases ready to ship.
It's about transparency. Clients would love that.
They love it.
Yeah.
But you absolutely do not want them to see your raw material inventory. You don't want them to know that you buy your special vanilla extract from supplier X at price Y. That's your trade secret. That's your margin.
So two-tier inventory basically just splits the view.
Exactly. It cleanly separates the internal view, which is all your raw materials, recipes, and costs, from the external view, which is just the finished goods. It solves a very real human trust problem with a simple software permission structure.
Okay, let's talk about the audit roulette fix. We already mentioned the instant trace tree, but what about creating those certificates of analysis?
Right, this is a huge pain point. Usually, making a COA for a finished batch is a totally manual process. Someone has to copy and paste test results from a lab report into a Word template.
Which is just begging for a copy-paste error.
Absolutely. Batch Buddy has a feature they call COA Premium. Because the system already knows which raw material lots went in, and it has the final lab test results linked to the batch, it can auto-generate the final professional COA document with one click. It traces the entire lineage back to the raw material COAs. It's instant, and it's error-free.
And finally, how does it fix the profitability problem?
It automates that yield prediction we talked about. This is really cool. You can tell the system, for this particular shampoo formula, we usually lose about 3% to evaporation and what stick to the tank.
Mm-hmm.
The system then predicts your expected yield for every batch.
And then it compares that prediction to the actuals.
Yes. And this is the Moneyball moment for manufacturing. You can run a simple report, planned yield versus actual yield.
Mm-hmm.
If batch A had a 98% yield, but batch B, made by a different team, only had a 90% yield, you can stop and ask why.
Was it the temperature in the room that day? Was it the new guy on the line? Was the machine calibrated incorrectly?
Exactly. You stop guessing and you start optimizing. That is how you begin to reclaim that 6% revenue leak we talked about at the beginning.
There is one more feature I want to touch on because it feels like a really strategic shift for the whole industry, the supplier marketplace.
This is fascinating. Usually an ERP system is just an empty box. You buy it, and then you have to spend weeks, sometimes months, manually typing in all of your suppliers and your thousands of ingredients.
Data entry hell.
Total data entry hell. Batch Buddy has a marketplace preloaded right inside the platform. Verified suppliers can list their ingredients there. So if you're developing a new product and you need, say, organic ashwagandha, you can just search for it right inside your ERP.
And if I click import, what happens?
It doesn't just import the name. It imports all the specifications, the allergen info, the nutritional profile, and sometimes even the pricing, directly into your formulation library. It turns sourcing from a multi-day research project into a one-click action.
That seems like it solves a blank page problem of starting with new software. It gets you going faster.
It accelerates the setup massively. They claim you can be up and running in 24 to 48 hours, and it's largely because of tools like this and their CSV importers. They know people are coming from messy spreadsheets, so they built tools to ingest that mess and clean it up.
So let's zoom out for a second. We've gone really deep into the weeds of audit trails and potency math. But what is the big picture shift that's happening here?
I think the shift is from art to science, or maybe from hobby to profession.
Ouch. That stings a little bit, but I see your point.
It's true, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You could be a professional-level formulator but be running a completely amateur operation. The shift is about moving from a state of constant anxiety, worrying about audits, worrying about margins, to a state of confidence.
Confidence that if the FDA walks in, you're ready in 30 seconds. Confidence that if you sell a unit, you actually made money on it.
And confidence that you can actually scale the business. You cannot scale chaos. If you try to 10x a company that's running on spreadsheets, you just 10x the errors. You have to digitize the foundation first.
The cost of inaction is very real. We talked about that potential $10 million recall risk. We talked about the $300,000 annual revenue leak for a mid-sized company.
When you compare it to those numbers, the cost of proper software, even expensive software, is just a rounding error. But a platform like Batch Buddy is specifically targeting the SMB market, so it's designed to be accessible.
So here is the challenge that I want to leave our listeners with today, and it's a bit of a provocative one.
Go on.
Ask yourself this question. Are you running a manufacturing business, or are you just managing a collection of spreadsheets? Because the market is only getting more competitive. The FDA is getting stricter, and the margins are getting tighter every single year.
If you felt a pang of recognition when we described that Wednesday morning chaos or the audit panic, yeah, it's probably time to take a hard look at your systems.
Absolutely. Don't wait for the crisis to force the change. Be proactive.
So Batch Buddy has an offer for anyone listening who wants to test this out. It's a 14-day free trial. And crucially, no credit card is required up front. They're really putting their money where their mouth is.
I love that. It lowers the barrier to entry to almost zero. You can just go in and play with the tools without any commitment.
So here's the homework assignment. Go to batchbuddy.ai, sign up, set up just one of your formulations, just one, run a test batch in the system, and then try to pull a full audit report on it.
See if you can beat that 30-second clock. If you can answer those hypothetical auditor questions instantly, then you're in great shape. And if you can't, well, now you know exactly what you need to fix.
The website again is batchbuddy.ai. Stop letting those silent killers eat away at your profits. It's time to get your house in order.
Knowledge is safety. And in this game, data is really the only defense you have.
Thanks for diving deep with us today. We'll see you on the next one.
Stay compliant, everyone.